Housecast Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. Welcome to Big Jim's House. Big Jim, Aaron V, we know Wayne Kramer, MC5, baby. It's about time that he did this. We're waiting on this one, man. He's got a new book, The Hard Stuff, Dope, Crime, the MC5, and My Life of Impossibilities. Real quick, we're waiting on Wayne. I have to tell the story about the song. I've told you this before. So we were doing a thing for Winterfest downtown, and they brought out a skate club. We were down there broadcasting live one morning. So they said, can you make some music up for the kids to go out and skate? And I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So we burn a playlist of songs from here at the radio station. And unfortunately, I forgot that I had downloaded the wrong version of Kick Out the Jams. So the one where he yells, Kick Out the Jam,
no.
MF-er. So Kick Out the Jam, MF-er blares over the PA in Campus Marsh at 6 o'clock in the morning as the Livonia Skate Club with a bunch of 7-year-old kids is hitting the ice. It was loud. Oops. It echoed down, Kick Out the Jam, mother! And everyone went, I remember our boss at the time, getting Bill Stedman, was going to kill me, man. He was just looking at me like, what the hell did you just do? All right, MC5. We're waiting on Wayne here in just a second. I remember when the was Jennifer Aniston on Friends. That was like when they had their little, it's the damnedest thing. They had a rebirth because she was wearing the shirt for a while.
I remember that.
Remember? And it was like, who's MC5? I'm like, great band. And then you wind up occasionally like just digging through and finding videos of them at Wayne State and doing stuff down at Emu and, of course, the Grandy Ballroom and East Town Theater and, you know, working with everybody. I remember Joe Walsh once said that they scared him, that nobody wanted to hang out with the MC5. They were just so radical. I mean, they were all with John Sinclair and stuff, too. The book's a great read for that. I never realized how connected the MC5 was with Sinclair and the whole counterculture movement in the 60s that was going on here in Detroit, that they were synonymous with him.
Well, they were just synonymous with anything anti-establishment anyhow.
Yeah, yeah. And they even talk about this one cop that was a, what's his name? I gotta ask him about this one. How's this for a name? Warner Stringfellow. He's the guy that Wayne says was really going after, John Sinclair when they were caught up in the middle of that. But they referenced Seeger at one point. They all kind of knew each other. I mean, they would hang out together. You see pictures of them. We looked up yesterday. I was trying to find the farm. Alice Cooper had a farm on Brown Road in Auburn Hills. And we found it. It's where ABB is now. The plant out there, if you drive by it, that's where their farm was. And then I've always heard the MC5 actually had a, they had a building after the riots. They would live downtown. So like Iggy would talk about how they were crazy. Yeah, that they would just go stick their nose in anything. They didn't care.
They were crazy.
Great sound, man. Great, the best. My kid listens to him now and goes like, is this new? I'm like, no.
No, it's been around forever.
It's 50 years ago, man.
I remember my brother used to collect all the Rolling Stone magazines, and he had the one from was it late 60s, early 70s when they made the cover of Rolling Stone magazine?
Is that with them with the flag on or just kind of staring at it with Fred with the big hair?
I think it's Fred with the big hair. Yeah. It must have been like 69 or 70. I don't know. It was like a really, really cool. That kind of put them in the limelight, though.
Yeah. I mean, and you talk about bands that, not a local band. I mean, they're huge. It's fun. If you want to go down a rabbit hole sometime, go on YouTube and start watching MC5 videos and you'll see stuff in Europe where they're jamming. It's crazy. You will just get lost in it, man. So it's all up. Everything's up, Wayne. Up. Turn it up to 11, brother.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Hi, Wayne. Welcome to Detroit, says the 31-year-old radio station to the guy who knows us longer than that, man.
Always happy to be in Detroit.
Hey, Wayne, I have to ask a question. Did you ever find that 11-year-old drummer you threw eggs at the Rolling Stone concert?
Never saw him again.
You guys got bumped by an 11-year-old drummer? You really thought that? So you told everybody you were gonna open for the Stones here in Detroit?
Yeah, I was crushed, you know. I mean, I bragged to all my friends, hey, I'm playing with the Rolling Stones. I grew my hair out. We had to learn a whole bunch of new songs because we did a bunch of their songs. So we had a whole new set, and then, you know, the last minute we got bumped off the show. And it was my introduction to the wonderful world of the entertainment industry, the amusement industry.
So you took some eggs to the show and just pelted the opening act.
Yeah, I egged them. I was a kid. I was angry, and I acted out. Not anything to really be proud of. I don't know how I'd feel if my son did that. But
Would you call the MC5's music angry? Is that a fair assessment or no?
No, I don't think so. I think we were enthusiastic. We were certainly assertive. We felt like we had something to prove. But you know, anger—you got to be judicious with anger. And I don't think we felt—I never felt angry on stage performing, or you know, I mean, things disturbed me, things bothered me, but I'd like to think we were more inspired by love and creativity.
Well, we got to tell you, over the years, Wayne Kramer, the MC5 with us, the book, The Hard Stuff, Dope Crime, the MC5, My Life and Possibilities. It's a great read, man. We've talked with Joe Walsh. We've talked with Alice a lot, obviously, Iggy as well. You scared the crap out of all of them back then. I mean, Alice had his barn out in Auburn Hills, and he talked about how you guys scared them. And was it more of a perception of the band, or were you guys really that nuts?
Well, we were that nuts. No doubt. And you know, it must have looked intimidating. I mean, you got all these big, beefy dudes from Detroit all wearing black leather jackets and, you know, known to be carrying weapons and...
Yeah, you were the tough guys. Yeah, they dressed up, but you really rolled that way, didn't you?
Yeah.
Can I mention a name? There was one of the chapters that I think is one of my favorite ones. Warner Stringfellow.
Oh, yeah.
This cop here in Detroit, so he had it out for Sinclair and then kind of had it out for you guys as well?
Well, I think we just got the spillover from John. And, Warner Stringfellow was a Detroit narcotics detective who had arrested John previously, and John wrote a scathing poem called The Poem for Warner Stringfellow. And in the poem, he indicted Warner and the whole older generation that for their hypocrisy and their corruption. And Warner took it personally and swore he'd get Sinclair. And he did.
Isn't that always weird? Aaron and I were talking about this before you came on with us, Wayne, that you would think when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because you guys had such a reputation as the MC5, sort of the counterculture band and stuff, you know, like it was love stuff, but you watch the shows at Wayne State and we sit there and we still celebrate your music. I would think that Jan Wenner would be more attracted to you guys than, say, Styx or REO Speedwagon, that he would want a band like the MC5 in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm not going to dispute that position. I mean, but listen, I think that he may have been responsible for kicking the MC5 out of the music business. So I don't expect much from him. It's funny because I never had a beef with him. We met a couple times, we chatted, and but I think he was one of those haters that just was highly critical of the MC5's stance, you know, the fact that we addressed our audience's concerns directly. I think he may have had a problem with that.
That's crazy.
Wayne, at this point, because you guys have done so much, I mean, you're in the Michigan Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Does it even matter anymore? Because a lot of people that I've talked to that are artists say it's so political anyhow, it just doesn't matter to them.
Well, you know, personally, Aaron, it wouldn't affect me. The only place it shows up is, you know, when you go looking for work, they can add that to your resume. You know, if you win a Grammy, you know, Grammy winning or Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member or, you know, hit 100 home runs.
Right.
Right.
You
know,
it's just, you know, I mean, it certainly doesn't validate the work any more than the work already, because the work stands on its own.
You guys are going to be here in the Motor City. The 50th anniversary tour kicks off in September for Lauderdale. Then you'll be at St. Andrews and then the Fillmore back to back. I was looking up all the venue you guys played. The Grandy Ballroom to me still is one of those. I love stories from the Grandy Ballroom. You got to look back and just laugh your ass off at some of the gigs there.
Oh, it was a unique time in everybody's life. I mean, that building was the scene of so much debauchery and and great music and fun and, you know, a real sense of community. Everybody was was cool with everybody. You know, there was no alcohol, so there was no fighting, and you know, it was a joyous time in an otherwise pretty grim period in our history, I think.
Well, we want to talk again. I know we're kind of short on time this morning, Wayne, but we want to talk to you some more. We'll get some more time. We'll figure that out. But I have to tell you that, and I think I speak for Aaron and everybody here at CSX, your music, the music of the MC5 and your music, but the MC5, when you play for someone today, they look at you and go, who the hell is that? My 15-year-old, the first time I played it, he looked at me and went, oh, my God, are they new? I'm like, no. And he says, well, who are they? The MC5, well, who are they like? I'm like, nobody else ever. They just are. You guys have captured a sound that nobody else can touch, dude.
It's interesting. We played a series of big rock festivals in Europe this summer, and I'm guessing half the crowd didn't know who we were. Half of them probably did, but the other half were just kids at a rock festival. And the music itself won them over. They understood what we were doing from the first. By the second song, I could see it on the people's faces. They knew what this was. This was bang your head, slamming rock music, and they got it. And by the time we finished, we always had larger crowds than when we started.
Damn right, yeah.
Really gratifying to see that the music holds up so well.
Wayne, you're awesome, man. We're definitely going to talk some more real quick before you go. We're going to let you. I promise we'll wrap up in 1 minute here. Bob Seger Boulevard is something we're working on doing. We don't like to wait until someone's gone to say thank you for what they've done. So we're working on a Bob Seger Boulevard, maybe out of Pine Knob, maybe somewhere in Allen Park or Lincoln Park. What do you think about that idea?
I would be embarrassed, but listen, it's always nice to be recognized for your work.
All right, man. All right, Wayne, you're the best. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. Always good to talk with my mainline mellows and the D.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Wayne Kramer, MC5. God bless you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, bro.
All right.
Thanks, Aaron.
Well, there's your point. What you were talking about, and you asked the question about the music and the timing of it earlier. Yes, if they weren't so political and Jan Wenner hadn't screwed them over, maybe they would have been a bigger band. But they wouldn't have been the MC5. If they weren't singing about social issues, they would have been just another rock band.
No, I'm not saying that they should have changed who they were to accommodate the times. I'm just saying because of their political agenda and the message that they were trying to convey at the time, it wasn't socially acceptable. And it obviously did rub people the wrong way. And that's why they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's why I asked them, at this point, does it even matter? Because a lot of the artists...
Like that. Yeah.
Are just like, screw the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't want to be in there anyhow because it's a political hot mess of crap anyhow.
But the point is, like Jan Wenner saying, we love you guys. We'll put you on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah.
That magazine was built on the counterculture of John Sinclair and those
guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
The very thing that the MC5 was all about. And then for Jan Wenner to basically blackball them from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame over what he celebrated. That, to me, is the hypocrisy of the whole thing. It's like, I love the MC5. We love what you stand for. We love that you speak out against social issues, but he's got an agenda against him, and he won't put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So. It's garbage. It's crap. And it makes me sad because at what point there's not going to be anyone from the band left to even be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they are so worthy. They are more worthy than, I would say, a good 40% of the people who have already been inducted, and it just makes me very sad for them.
There you go, man. All right, Wayne Kramer, again, be here in the Motor City with the MC5 tribute. They'll be at the Fillmore and then St. Andrews in October, man. Going to be cool.